Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On this episode, we're going to discuss propaganda and how it has invaded pretty much every aspect of our digital lives. And we're going to specifically talk about social media. And we're going to start with TikTok and the newfound ability to do corporate advertising via a perception of viral marketing.
For those of you who don't know what TikTok is, it's basically like Musical.ly. And if you don't know what Musical.ly is, it's basically like a Vine. And if you don't know what Vine is, it's basically like a short YouTube video. And if you don't know what a YouTube video is, then good, you shouldn't. TikTok is a way for you to share content by lip syncing and or playing other people's audio over top of your own dances and other silly shit that you're doing. And it's just a way for Generation Z kids that are bored to try to be, you know, creative and put content up. But it just tends to be them just mocking other people or copying them. You know, the Gen Xers and the millennials, the Gen X and millennials try to get on there and be cool. But it's just a place to watch a rich girl with 95 million viewers cry. But what does it mean in the context of advertisement? I think we've all seen those commercials that make you mad, where they try to talk to you like you're part of the commercial. They break the fourth wall, or they try to make it seem like it's viral and cool that they have like the Chevrolet trucks, not paid actors, right? They're just like, oh, we're part of the crew. Oh my God, this is so awesome. Well, that's just a way to try to humanize what the commercial is and connect with you. And what TikTok's been able to do is, and it's using some pretty cool advanced AIs to get on your For You page and things like that, is to really begin to promote content that you think you'll like, which allows for distributed viral means for you to advertise. So instead of advertisers trying to guess what the keyword searches are to advertise to you, they're able to create multiple types of content through multiple different influencer channels, which then allow you to then see advertisements that weren't actually targeting for you. They're just out there hoping that you fell within the demographic that saw it. So what's an example of this? An example would be if you saw someone having a product or product listing that just happened to be randomly doing something that you could relate to. So let's take, for example, you like skateboarding. What do you see? You see a guy going down the road drinking some cranberry juice from Ocean Spray, right? Lip syncing to Fleetwood Mac, trying to be cool as shit in California. And then what happens is becomes a celebrity. Even though this may be a viral attempt, maybe we're cynical, too cynical to say this is a viral marketing attempt, but this guy has now got Ocean Spray in every one of his videos. He's got people like Snoop Dogg stopping by, and he's basically just one billboard for Ocean Spray. Is Ocean Spray a hip drink? I think it tastes like shit.
It's just sugar water.
What is it, your period?
If you haven't seen The Departed, you're an asshole and you should go watch it right now. All right, so this is just about promoting it. And then it gets re-promoted. And then what happens in an interesting way is that people begin to mimic the content. And influencers, quote-unquote influencers, people that have lots of followers, begin to mimic the content. And in order for it to be genuine, they have to go out and get the Ocean Spray cranberry juice. So now you have this viral marketing that is multiple people doing multiple things. And then people are doing it with other things in skateboards. Now you have other ways that you can actually go through and try to market based on the success of the cranberry juice. Maybe you pay people to...
I'm going
to
rollerblade while drinking milk.
Yeah, with drinking milk, or they're doing it when they're, you know, skipping instead of riding, I guess, a skateboard, or they're on a scooter that you're trying to sell, a brand of some sort, right? So again, it's this viral marketing, it's this guerrilla marketing in which you're being targeted by AI. You're being targeted, which basically means artificial intelligence, which is really just regression forms. I don't want to get into the math of it, but it's really all it is trying to link you statistically with another group of people.
It's pattern matching.
It's just pattern matching, but it's doing it in nonlinear ways because computationally we can do it now because it's cheaper than it used to be, right? And so you get clustered in, you get looking at things, you like looking at videos that have these certain songs, they're going to keep showing it. So all that your viral marketer has to do is create a bunch of content with different segments in there, and it begins to just propagate through. And then you gotta get lucky once.
And so this Ocean Spray example could have been a coordinated campaign by Ocean Spray and Fleetwood Mac and TikTok and skateboarding.
Yeah, well, and Fleetwood Mac is not going to let their video be in any content that's not, you know, of high quality. Ocean Spray isn't going to allow their juice to be out and open, that's not high quality, right? It's not like they're shooting porn with it because immediately they get shut down, right? It's a wholehearted guy, I guess, older gentleman on a skateboard rocking chinos. I have no idea. Going down a hill.
It's just a wholesome video. It could be completely organic, or it could be one of 100 different ideas that the Ocean Spray company created that they put out into the wind. And this was the one that took off because they gamed the algorithm correctly. TikTok played along, had the catchy tunes. It tapped into some group of people that thought it was great and they spread it further. That could be one angle where it's a coordinated attempt by an advertising company. And this is how you play the game now.
So I use the word influencer. What does that mean? It means that it's one person that gets followed by a million people or 500,000 people or some random amount of connections that you think, most of which are probably bots. But they have the ability to command a large segment of the social media purely by putting a post down, by saying, oh my God, look at this cool shirt I just bought. You should buy one too. And now that brand has, you know, 500,000 people who just been exposed to a free commercial. And all they did was send somebody a free t-shirt or paid them $1,000. I mean, Charlie, is that her name? Somebody.
You act like I know anything about TikTok.
Gets paid millions of dollars a year, just like Ninja on TikTok, right? Millions of dollars a year to promote, you know, that platform. So you have multiple people who get paid $7 million, $5 million who are influencers. Now, it's not organic. These individuals, you know, pretend to be you and me, but they're really just marketing geniuses, quote unquote, who've just been picked by a corporation and randomly pushed forward. They found somebody that fit the feeling of the person they wanted, right? The demographic.
They focus grouped it and determined they needed a white male between the age of 17 and 19 that had some physical attribute that they wanted that likes X, Y, and Z.
Yep. Yeah, so in the case of TikTok, one of the biggest people everybody follows is a white girl whose family's kind of wealthy. She lives in, I think, California, and she's 16, so that's the demographic. And that's exactly who they want on their platform. So not only are they promoting it themselves, it's also self-promoting. They have people that think it's cool to follow, so they follow back. And it's one of the first people that you should be following when you're on social media is this one person, because then that gives them control over the influencer. Because the influencer, again, at the end of the day, is not really independent. They're just an individual whose job it is to be online and pretend that they're important. And through that, they can channel anything they want to. They can channel messaging, they can channel products, they can channel new music. They could say, hey, why don't you make a new dance to the song? So now it's viral marketing for a new singer that's coming out, etc. It is not just somebody who just happened to be so popular that people liked them. This is an actual attempt to make an influencer.
It's an intentional investment by a corporation into an individual that the corporation views to be productive in advancing views of videos, the product of Ocean Spray cranberry juice, of whatever the corporation wants to peddle. These influencers represent a channel by which corporations can feed propaganda to potential users of various social media channels. And we're talking about TikTok here specifically, but this happens on Twitter and Facebook and pretty much every social media. The kind of shell game behind each one is a little bit different.
Yep.
But the premise remains that corporations invest heavily in having people with influence that advertising and propaganda can be channeled through.
Yep. And they also do that. They pick people like musicians who they like the most. And you'll see that with certain musicians that they're going to push and cover that are wholesome or whatever the demographic is they're pushing. It also means that they have the chance to resurrect old careers, especially on TikTok, because they can just pull up old songs and try to outfit them in a way that's cool, I guess. So one of the ones just popped up was from a singer named It's Me, Eva, I think is what it is, her name. And it's literally my life. It came out in 2014. It says stuff like, literally my life is beaches every single night, messy buns and Christmas lights. What's become now is a way for individuals on TikTok to share their darkest secrets to a remixed version of the song. But now, like, My Name is Eva has millions of plays and is seeing, I'm not sure if it's monetized or not, but individuals going to the YouTube looking for her and basically resurrecting her career. Now, she claims she doesn't know anything about it. Maybe she doesn't, maybe she does. But it allows her to then become a bigger influencer. More people follow her, and then her reign on top as an advertiser or influencer continues. And again, this could just be us being cynical about it, or us saying that there could be a massive push for these things behind the scenes, because you don't have access to what the algorithms are for the advertisement. There are plenty of times on TikTok when you go to the comments saying, why is this on my For You page? And that's because some reason the algorithm matched you, and some reason it matched you to a promotion that other people are matched to. It's just a way for them to continuously meander and move you to the areas they want to move you in the belief systems that you have.
So if we put our tinfoil hats on,
ooh, I like this.
I think there's two main ways in which we can explain why this random song gained popularity recently. I think the song came out in 2014, and now this trend is happening now, 2020, 6 years later. The first concept is that for whatever reason, Eva has decided that this would be a good opportunity to advance her old catalog of songs and create publicity, and then that would lead to future revenue and new songs and interest and just the whole media cycle.
Yep.
No idea if that happens. I have never heard of this person. I don't know if they're just some random person that decided they were going to do a song and made a music video and it was like a college project. I have no idea. The other potential outcome is that a media corporation, perhaps the record label that owns the rights to this song, decided that they wanted to get some extra tread out of some of their old backlog catalog because during COVID it's harder to create new material. So they identified this song and they created some artificial viral marketing. Along the same lines, the corporation could have decided that they wanted to place this Eva person as an influencer. And so they hyped her song and now they want to drive followers to her account so that she can become an influencer. These are both kind of like marketing psyops that could have potentially happened and been completely intentionally planned by corporations to take advantage of the TikTok algorithm to benefit their profit, their marketing intent, their future revenue, their future influence.
You know, right now the way to make money is through plays, right? It's the attempting to get as much media of yours brought through the marketing arms, either through plays, but there has to be an advertisement to it. So if you get someone locked in a TikTok or generating more and more content, you know, you can monetize for a lot more money because you are the reason why people are there. And that's the important part about the TikTok marketing, is that they have ad revenue that doesn't come necessarily from the videos all the time, but comes between the in-between place. But the longer you're on there, the more likely it is that you're going to see these other advertisements. And they're just trying to increase the number of times that you swipe up or down, swipe up and watch something, right? What also is pretty interesting about maybe Reddit too and TikTok and Twitter is it's becoming a site that's for individuals who are trying to private market or private label their products. So you see a lot of OnlyFans on here for, you know, sex workers. It used to be OnlyFans was for music. That's sort of been to the side. Now it's just link selling and trying to get as many people as I can to visit your site and try to get as many backlinks as possible. Because remember, backlinks are SEO gold. The more that you do search engine optimization algorithms or SEO, the more Google likes that you have people linking to you. So the more links you have, the better it is for you on your content. And so it's another way for you to get to another platform in order to get more traffic to your website or your account in order to get that SEO backlog. So the more times and the more channels you have, so you have a YouTube, Instagram, a Facebook, a Twitter, right, a TikTok now, and you may have some others that you just hide behind in order to get people to go to your content. All of that is how you get your backlinks and become more prominent. And if you have all those sites and you have lots of Instagram followers and TikTok followers, now you become the influencer. And I think it's just trading advertisement dollars at the end of the day.
Yeah, it presents this idea that if you are connected enough and you're hip, cool with it, wow, that you will become an influencer. And so that's kind of the light at the end of the tunnel for these terminally online social media accounts. But as we discussed, influencers do not exist because they have influence. They exist because a corporation is paying them to yep. have influence.
Yep.
It's one does not derive from the other. You are an influencer because corporate interests have decided you are an influencer, not because you actually have the ability to influence people organically.
And there's lots of ways to get there. You know, these are all psyops techniques. There's lots of papers out there. There's actual journals on social media manipulation. There's actual journals on it. So, I mean, advertisers use this as a way to get you hooked on something. And it's as easy as, you know, showing you a power tool during somebody's buildup. Oh, they're using DeWalt or a Ridgid or something, right? There's lots of these tool videos where DeWalt always wins, right? So if you're on these videos with people doing construction jobs and they have two drills and they're trying to see which one's more powerful and DeWalt always wins the power battle, you're going to say, oh, wow, DeWalt's a much better tool. And people copy that, and then it's a runaway train. People keep trying to ruin their tools to show you that they can do the same testing as everybody else. And it's a way for, again, you to get out there and say, wow, look how cool my tool is. Anytime DeWalt could sue TikTok and say, hey, you're damaging our brand. You can't show those videos anymore, right? Because you're trying to commercialize off of it. But they don't, because they benefit from it.
And that's the key takeaway, is that in everything going on, TikTok is raking some percentage of the money. So with the Ava example of literally my life, which is definitely a corporate-funded influencer campaign, Ava Gutowski is an influencer, paid by YouTube and Viacom at various points in her, I guess, career. And she's a shitlib, having appeared in a video at this year's DNC. What if there's no psyop behind this, and this is just an organic viral video that a lot of people have taken an interest in, and it's getting shared far and wide? TikTok's still making money, and it just so happens that a bunch of these other random participants are making money as well. This is scary to corporate engineered propaganda interests, because it means they don't have a lock on the messaging. Actual organic group expression can get out from TikTok, and that's why TikTok is scary, not because there's some Chinese, you know, spy agency, or they represent a corporate struggle with Twitter and who's going to win.
Who controls the data?
We expect to be compensated by DeWalt and Ocean Spray for this entire episode, right?
Yep, absolutely. I'll be reaching out to their lawyers tomorrow. Or they'll be reaching out to us, one of the two.
Depends on whether we're influencers or not, right?
Right. To our 12 fans out there, thank you very much. Please don't tell your friends about us.
We should end every episode with, please do not tell your friends about us. We've talked about social media a lot and how social media has the ability to propagandize content to whoever consumes it. And this should come as no surprise, because the corporate media has been doing this forever and ever and ever. And the advent of social media has just created another channel by which this can happen. You have CNN, Fox, NBC, ABC, CBS, whatever other corporate media I'm forgetting, do this. They've been around to cheerlead for corporate interests forever. We had the Iraq invasion, where nobody wanted to say this is bullshit. Everybody just said, rah, 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 USA. They were there to provide credence to the death panel argument during the ACA. They pretended to care about Black Lives Matter until it was co-opted, and very recently they were willing to yell Orange Man bad. And now that Trump's lost, the media stopped kissing the ring. So all of this propaganda is not new, been going on forever. Perhaps one of the earlier examples of mass corporate media was the death counts in Vietnam, where the premise behind why the U.S. was going to win the war was that for every one American soldier we lost, we were going to kill some X number of Viet Cong, and that number was going to be so high that we would win the war. And this number ended up just getting inflated for propaganda purposes to the point where it meant absolutely nothing. And we're, again, starting to see this large number becoming meaningless in the minds of Americans, as over 250,000 people have died from COVID in the last 8 months.
So it's manufactured consent, because you don't have the ability to actually absorb what the death counts are, because you have no, it's all abstract. You have no understanding of what it means for 1,000 people to die a day. You have no idea what it is. You're desensitized to it.
Absolutely.
There's no way, just like the idea of, you know, what it's like to win $500 million. You have no idea what the fuck it's like. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to buy a fucking cow. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, you don't have any idea, right? You don't know how, like, the number of car accidents in a year, that you have no idea what that even means, right? Because it's 10,000 people dying a year. You have no way of visualizing 10,000 people. You can say, oh, you know, I went to a basketball game once. I think there's 10,000 people there. Is that how many people die? But there's no way of knowing what 100,000 deaths look like. That's actually like a larger city just being wiped out.
It is a large number of people. And once the reporting of whatever the manufacturer consent is gets to the point where the human mind cannot wrap their head around what it means, you don't need to manufacture consent anymore because it's just confused. So we're at that point with COVID where the number's too big and nobody cares about it anymore. People are going to go to Thanksgiving and die.
Yeah, I'm tired of being stuck in my house. What about the mental illness of my great-great-grandfather who doesn't even know where he's at and he's shitting himself all day and watching fucking Fox News? Why can't I go see him? I mean, you can. You're going to kill him.
You're going to kill him. You might kill others too, but the number's so big it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Yep.
And if it mattered, somebody would be doing something about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, if people really gave a shit. I mean, the question is some governors are caring, some governors are not. I mean, you still have the cities, and nobody in the city is giving a shit. It's maddening because it's up to the states and Congress to regulate commerce. And all this has to be wrapped in a flag of is commerce. And you can pretty much regulate whatever you want to. You have to wear a mask in a store because it's a public health requirement of my county. And if not, guess what? I'm taking your business license away. It's pretty simple. Report here, take it away. I mean, that would end it almost immediately.
And you could even enforce some of these technocratic like apps for contact tracing. If you want to have your store be open, you have to require that everybody get the app, contact trace, and all the data is reported back to the government, not to Google and Apple.
Or absolutely. To
some third-party entity that is secure and private.
Yeah, and I think it's actually pretty weird that you have to rely on Google to, you know, app trace or contact trace for you. That there wasn't some other, you know, entity out there that actually understands what it's like to have, I don't know, a disease tracking out there. I mean, it's so mind-boggling how fucked up in scale it really is. How many people had to die before they're like, oh yeah, we'll approve an app in our store for developers in order to contact trace. Like, come on, that's just bonkers. Seize Apple, make them do it. Seize Google, make them do it. It would have been easy. You have to do that. Why? Well, it's a Defense Operation Act, whatever that was, right?
Yeah, require that the Defense Production Act be instituted to make Apple and Google manufacture 300 million contact tracing devices that get distributed to every human in the country. And it's an iPhone 12 or whatever the new one is. And literally all it does is contact tracing.
It's all it is. Corporate media is a giant machine designed to manufacture consent. It doesn't matter what form it's in. It's just a machine. And right now, the machine is geared up to justify COVID deaths and distract us from the fact that Biden and Obama are both dog shit neoliberals and nothing fundamentally changed. Just take a look at his cabinets, Biden's picking. It is basically Bush and Obama all over again. It is just dog shit. All the propaganda around you means that there's lots of ways to be distracted, and it's important to be vigilant and understand that everything that comes to you in media form is probably some form of propaganda, including this podcast. Don't tell your friends.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.